The way that we use the word blessings commonly, even in the church, is interesting. When I was on Vicarage, I had a weekly devotion that I gave at the preschool connected to the church. And we sang this song, this kids song, VBS type song, that said, when the prayers will go up, the blessings will come down. In the same context, we often say, or we'll have people say to us, count your blessings. Neither of these things is wrong, but they are simplistic when you think about it. The way that we commonly use the word blessings, it indicates basically good things that happen or good stuff that comes to us. We'll also use it in the church as a term of official approval for something, that the church blessed that marriage, or the church does not bless non-Christian marriages, something like that. So maybe good stuff, maybe approval. But when Peter says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. And when the Bible in general uses the term bless or blessing for that matter, I think it is generally talking about something much deeper than just good stuff or approval. Let's use this as a working definition. A blessing is when God enlivens or empowers his creatures by giving them good gifts. You can think about the Aaronic benediction, the blessing that the Lord commanded Aaron as the priest to give to the people, the blessing that we still use today at the end of our service. The Lord bless you and keep you. And everything that comes after that phrase, the Lord bless you, is going to be what the blessing is, that he would keep you, that God would guard and protect you and be your refuge in times of trouble, that his face would shine upon you, or his countenance would shine upon you. And think about what an amazing gift and blessing that is, that the Lord would show you and look with favor upon you with his face. Not even Moses could look upon the face of the Lord. It was too glorious for him. But the Lord, out of his kindness, out of his goodness, out of wanting to give you life and power, shines his face on you, that he may be gracious to you. What is grace? It is his favor towards you, that God would look at you and want to help you, want to love you, that he would look at you and think of you as his own. Not as someone opposed to him, but as someone who he loves, who he has favor on. And that he would give you peace. The peace of Christ that surpasses all human understanding. The peace that can only come from knowing the hope that we have for eternal life, won for us by the blood of Christ and his resurrection. A blessing so much more, so much deeper than simply good stuff or a simple approval of something. A blessing where God is giving you of himself his life and his power, where he is enlivening and empowering you by giving you the gifts that you need. Not the gifts that you deserve, but the gifts that he wants to give you. And what's more, furthermore, interestingly in the Bible, when you look at this term blessing, is that you should really never actually get a blessing. In fact, God is the only one who deserves blessing. You get this in our liturgy. Bless we the Lord, before the Aaronic benediction. Or you can think about what we're going to sing later, and this is the feast, is our communion hymn. From Revelation, blessing and honor and glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Only God is the one who has all life and power in himself. Only he is the one to who belongs all the good gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. And yet, out of his kindness, out of his mercy, he says, I want to now give you what is mine. I will bless you. And so it is no small thing when Peter says this. Maybe it seems like just a throwaway phrase in the middle of 1 Peter chapter 3. To this you were called, that you might obtain a blessing. Bless, that you might obtain a blessing, for to this you were called. It is interesting that he goes on from there to quote Psalm 34. Whoever desires to love life and see good days. I think what Peter is getting at here is that he is asking the question that we've all asked ourselves at some point in our lives, or maybe we ask ourselves daily, what is the meaning of all of this? Why am I here? What's the meaning of life? A question for the centuries. Who desires to love life and see good days? And to this you were called. What is your meaning in life? What do people think the meaning of life is? That's what he's talking about. And that's the natural human desire, isn't it? To see good life, love life, and to see good days. We all know that death is unnatural deep down. All of us tries to avoid death as much as possible. We love life. And people want to be happy. They don't want to be in despair. They don't want to be lonely. They don't want to be sick. They don't want to be sorrowful. People want to love life and they want to see good days. Another way of saying that is that everyone, no matter who they are or what they know about God or the Bible, they want to defeat death and defeat sin. They want to get rid of the things that make them sad. They want to get rid of death. They want to get rid of the things that make them lonely and depressed. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, and people try to accomplish that in all sorts of ways. People try and fill their life with meaning in all sorts of ways. You can kind of think about it if you think through the course of a normal life. It doesn't apply 100% and everyone bounces back and forth between different things. But if you think through the course of a life, normally younger people, when hormones are crazy, are often tempted to make good days for themselves and to fill up their life with meaning by gaining some sort of fleshly pleasures. Use your imagination. And then the older people get, it becomes less about the flesh and maybe more about money and material goods, gaining for themselves, preparing for their retirement. And even older as bodies age, trying to keep sickness and pain away. None of those things are bad in themselves. But Peter and the psalmist have a very different answer as to what good life, good days, and loving life, and to what you were called, is all about. In Psalm 34, the answer is this: to live a righteous life in loving your neighbor. Let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. You'll notice that those things I mentioned earlier in the course of a life when people try and fill up lives with meaning on their own, they are things that are inward focused. But a truly blessed life, a truly meaningful life, is not a life when you care only about yourself. Again, blessings, A true blessing is not just when good stuff happens to you, but a blessed life is when you also bless others. Bless, for to this you were called, that you might obtain a blessing. Don't speak evil to others. Don't deceive others. Turn from evil and seek peace with others and pursue it. Interestingly, even worldly wisdom understands this. There have been lots of studies now showing, if you want to think about money, for instance, that as long as people can pay the bills and put food on the table, their happiness does not increase with the amount of money that they have. Many people are tricked into thinking the more money I have, the happier I'd be, because I'd be able to do more of the things I want to do, but that tends actually not to be true. More money, more problems. You've heard it before. There have also been studies showing that the people who are most fulfilled in their life, who feel as if they have the most meaning in their life, are people who serve others. Most meaning in life, the studies show at least, come from having a family, having children, and being able to care for them. And then secondly, in careers, if they are focused on helping other people, that is also meaningful. Much less meaningful, much further down that list, is hobbies and having lots of material possessions. So even worldly wisdom gets this. But the Bible is clear enough on its own, if you don't want the scientific studies, that a life of blessing and a life of meaning is one where you bless and where you serve others, where you love your neighbor as yourself. But Peter even continues past that, and this is the best part in my opinion. In verse 14, he says, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake." So suppose all of that other stuff goes away. Yes, you could have fleshly pleasures. You could have money. You could have health in your body. And you could even have a life with your family that is fulfilling and a job that means a lot to you, where you serve other people. You could have all of it. But Peter wants to get past that. What happens if that goes away? What happens when the hormones die down, or the stock market crashes, or inflation skyrockets, or your health fails and there's not a medicine or a surgery to fix it? Or in Peter's case, what happens when the wicked governor is persecuting Christians and killing them? Peter himself will be martyred. And what happens if they even take away your family? As Luther says so famously in A Mighty Fortress, "Take they our goods, fame, child, and wife, though these all be gone." What happens then? Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. Have no fear, be blessed. And this is what you can see, that blessing is really, truly an amazing gift, to be blessed. To this you were called, to obtain a blessing. Because a blessing from God is not just good stuff happening that you think is good, but a blessing from God is when He blesses you with exactly what you need from Him. Let's go back to the benediction, that He will keep you even in the hard times. He will be your refuge even when you are sick. He will be your refuge even when there's not food on the table. He will be refuge even if the government comes and kills you for your faith. He will protect you and guard you when you need it most. And His face will shine on you. He will look upon you with favor, even though all these things be gone. He will be yours, and you will be his. He will be your God, and you will be his people, and you will have union with him. And that union is something that the world can't take away from you. And he will be gracious to you. He will look with favor on you. He will have mercy and compassion on you. And he will give you his salvation, the salvation that the world again cannot take away. And finally, leave you with his peace. The peace which surpasses all understanding. That peace which the world does not understand, that peace which you have in your heart, even when all those things are gone, when the money's gone and the health is gone and the family's gone, you can still have peace. And it's that kind of blessing that you were called to. That kind of hope that you have in you. And Peter, you can see, he knows that this hope is different. A hope that only Christians can have. A hope that is content no matter the circumstances. And that's why he says, always be prepared then to give a defense for the hope that is in you. Because people will see that hope. They will see your contentness. They will see your blessing. They will see you blessing others even when you are reviled. Do not revile for reviling, but bless. And they will wonder, what is up with them? But you can give a blessing, and you can give a defense, and you can share your hope. And so today, dear saints, I will bless you. I will give you the benediction at the end of the service. I will bless the children when they come up to the altar rail. You will be blessed today in all the word and sacrament that you receive here. And when that happens, know this one, that is the life to which you were called. To obtain God's blessing is the meaning of your life. And two, that should give you hope. A hope which surpasses all things, a peace which surpasses all understanding, and a hope that you can share with all those around you. To him be all the honor, now and forever. Amen.